So thank you everyone for coming in today and for your obedience today. Lord, I ask that your words come out and for you to use my mouth, and I ask just be a willing vessel. Thank you, Father, for our eyes that see, our ears that hear, and for our hearts that do perceive what your Spirit is saying.
Amen. Sam, my husband has difficulty hearing, so if you could kind of he's challenged.
You're doing fine.
Amen. No, thank you. So when it comes to the word that the Lord had pressed in my heart for this morning, it really had to do a lot with Ephesians chapter 6, which is really a focus of the armor of God. And in light of all the confirmations that, you know, we've been receiving, and in light of all the work that God is doing in the body of Christ, I really feel that for this message, Lord is really going to teach us a little bit more, not just about the pieces of the armor, but learning us, but helping us to learn and realize, you know, and recognize where those cracks are in the armor, both individually and as a corporate body of Christ. And really how it's really His Holy Spirit that can restore us and can help us fit into that armor of God. And as He was walking me into this word, one of the experiences that He had brought back to me was a good friend of mine, Nick, who, praise God, he has been used by God, even if he doesn't see it. He's been in the National Guard for years now, and I see a level of dedication in him that is really awestrucking to me. I see him take his physical training seriously. I see him be devoted to his fitness for serving his country and for serving in the military, and his readiness to receive instruction and to be disciplined. And through that example, Lord was showing me that as individuals who are a part of the body of Christ and serving in the army of God, that's really something that He wants to develop in us as well. And, you know, I praise God for the opportunity that He is digging a little deeper into that, because we really are being prepared for that next level. And a few services ago, we got a little bit of a taste and a deeper vision of, you know, the full maturity that Lord wants us to have and to be in the fullness and likeness of Him in the body of Christ. And one way that that can be achieved is by readily wearing the armor of God. And when it comes to the armor of God, you know, there's always been a lot of conversation about, you know, how to don it and what those pieces are. But just like with our message before that we received through Joyce Meyer about the Lord's Prayer, I didn't have a fullness or an understanding of just how deep those words were going and how each part of that Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, you know, how alive it really was in Christ. So that's where God, I believe, is taking us today. And it's really confirming to a lot of things that will be said and a lot of things that have been said. So Lord brought me into the pieces of the armor of God. And, you know, the six pieces being the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And in terms of the belt of truth, Lord had led me to Psalm 119, verse 105, saying, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." And here the Lord to me was revealing that the Lord's truth always brings freedom in Christ Jesus. And then the Lord had me focus on why a belt. A belt secures, fastens something to us, upholds and keeps it strong. Literally, Lord wants us to fasten the living word of God so that we can hold on dearly to it, allowing nothing to pry it away from us, because we know that's what the enemy wants. And as trials and tribulations are coming, and as we're being purified within the fire of God, that tightening of that belt is going to be important, because it's going to help us hold on to that armor of God upon us. And then the Lord had brought me further into John 8:32, saying that you will know the truth, and that the truth will set you free. When I questioned the Lord on this and when I went a little deeper, the Lord was really saying that when we hear the voice of truth, we're really hearing the voice of Jesus and of his Holy Spirit communicating through us. As that belt tightens, it's tightening the relationship that we are having with Christ, getting a deeper awareness of who we are in him and what he needs us to become in his name. And once you have truth, the enemy will do anything to take it away from you, but he can't succeed because that truth is already in you. And, you know, that's our relationship with Christ. And then the Lord led me a little bit further into the breastplate of righteousness. Now, how do you know you have right standing with God? That's a question that, you know, I asked a lot in the past. And I know that it's a question that we ask, and I want to believe that, you know, as our body of Christ matures, we're believing that we know we are righteous by the blood of Jesus. It's not a works program. It's by faith, by believing, because it is a free gift. We didn't consecrate ourselves to Christ. Christ did it for us. That's a free gift. And the more we start being able to receive and claim that, the more that breastplate of righteousness is going to fit us and fit us well. And then Lord had also brought me to Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation in Christ. And it's something that I've always done my best to declare, and it's always something that I've done my best to really grasp, that there really is no condemnation in Christ through that. And then the Lord led me to the shoes, which spoke about the shoes of peace. And when I think of shoes, I think of our feet and our walk with God and how it's supposed to be on firm footing. And if somebody doesn't have a firm footing or a firm step wherever they walk, you know, there might be stumbling. We might not be ready to obey in the readiness that we might want. And oftentimes, these shoes that are a part of the armor of God are called the shoes of peace. Well, I can tell you that if you are at peace in the test that you are going through right now, there's nothing that's going to make you stumble through your walk with God because you are holding on to his word. And regardless where you step and where you hinder. And the shoes themselves speak about a lot of the trials that we might be facing where the Lord will be leading us. I think about the phrase, how, you know, walking a mile in someone's shoes, and how when you look at someone's shoes, you can tell a story of where they've been, where they've headed, and things that they've had to gone through. And then the Lord led me to the shield of faith. And Lord had brought back 1 Corinthians 13:13, speaking of faith and what faith really is and that definition of it. And then the Lord brought it a little bit further, that the shield of faith really speaks about learning to lean and rely purely and fully trusting in him and his complete word. When you lift up that shield of faith, you are trusting that it is Jesus who has you, and that where he places you, in the highest and in the holiest of places, nothing will be able to touch you, and you really will be in a place and in a fortress where it is impenetrable and the enemy cannot get a hold of you as much as he might try. And then the Lord led me to the helmet of salvation. Now, when I think of a helmet, we all know that, you know, it goes on the head and it is protection for the head. But really, it's protection from the attacks that come to and fro the mind that the Lord was showing me. When we wear the helmet of salvation, we're really saying that we're putting on the mind of Christ and we are not letting that go. And we're not letting any of those thoughts or any of the carnal nature and all of its wills and desires to penetrate that mind of Christ, because he's the one who's in that throne.
Amen.
And then the Lord told me, you know, that the Son never really did anything to please himself, but to please the Father in obedience. And that the helmet was symbolizing being a capstone, which goes on top on the head of the body of the church. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord brought me into the sword of the Spirit. And the Lord had let me know that with the sword of the Spirit, it's important to receive instruction on how to use it and when to use it. I know that, Peggy, you had given us the word that our sword would be drawn. But there would be times where we would not need to use it because we're relying on the obedience and the readiness of God for when we need to strike and when we don't. And I think that, you know, that direction is important, and that's something that the Lord was bringing in. And then once the Lord had gone through all of those pieces, I questioned the Lord further, and I said, well, Lord, you know, I know that we have had teachings on this, and I want to understand further what it is that you're trying to bring in the fullness of this message. And then the Lord had brought me to Matthew 8:18-27, and what that picture in the Bible really represents, Matthew 8:18-27, was the storm that came upon Jesus and the disciples when they were in the boat. And the boat is really speaking about the ministry. I know we've received teaching on it, but God brought us there, so that's where we're at now. And Jesus had given us a picture of what we were to do in the midst of those trials and tests. Jesus fell asleep in the boat. And that means that he rested in full confidence, trusting the Holy Spirit within him and the Father, that despite how numerous the storms might have been, it was God who was in the control box throughout that entire experience.
Amen.
And the Lord was showing me that many storms were approaching. And quite frankly, he asked me, how many storms have you already lived through, thanks to Christ already? And I know many of us can think of different storms that we have lived through.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the storms like to grow. And it's because the fullness in God in us is growing, and it can handle more, and it's being pressed. And more of God is filling in us as we grow, so we can contain it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord showed me that the disciples cried out and that they woke up the Lord in the boat. And I, quite frankly, can't blame them. I want to run to the Lord in any circumstance. And I know that we're meant to run to the Lord and to rely on him and to lean on him.
Right.
But the Lord had shown me it wasn't in the act of them waking up the Lord and running to him. It was from the place that they were coming from. They were coming from the place of fear, not faith.
Sorry.
And the Lord was reminding me that fear and faith are not good bed partners. Where one lies, the other one has to flee.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, last night, I didn't really go to sleep till 4:30 in the morning because I was being tested, and the enemy was not happy that I was walking in faith and that I was to give out the word. And, you know, I continued to intercede and I continued to ask for instruction, knowing that I'm not weak and I'm not helpless, but I know that we are all meant to be conquerors in Christ.
Amen.
And I wanted to trust the Lord because I wanted to receive the message and the fullness that he wanted for this body of Christ. And you know, I know that we're all on a journey being knitted together in this body of Christ. And when I questioned about the body of armor and what it really was, because I know the pieces, but what does that really look like? What is really the body, you know, supposed to do with the armor of God? Like, what is that full picture? Because I knew I was missing something. And you know, I think that the Lord loves our eagerness and our curiosity, because I believe that he fosters and he places us in a position where we'll want to know more about God. And that want becomes a desire. And it's a desire that he continuously grows and grows. And then the Lord had shown me that all pieces of the body of armor are connected, whether it be the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet, the sword, you know, the shoes of peace, even the shield. Every single piece is connected, just like in the body of Christ. And we're supposed to corporately wear the armor of Christ. And then the Lord showed me that, to be honest, Sam, the armor of God is really me. It really is a picture of Jesus and the Jesus within us shining and radiating. And the only way you can wear the armor of God properly and to its fullest so that the Jesus within you radiates is by embracing love. Lord then led me to 1 Corinthians 8:1. Love, affection, and goodwill and benevolence edifies and builds up and encourages one to grow to his full stature. And I said, "Ooh, Lord, you're doing something. I can't tell you how late in the night this was, but I was so excited it might have been noonday."
What was the scripture?
Oh,
1 Corinthians.
It was 1 Corinthians 8:1.
8:1.
Love, affection, and goodwill and benevolence edifies and builds up and encourages one to grow to his full stature. Mm-hmm. So let's embrace that for a second. Love. Love is a part of the armor of God and the ultimate binding piece to tie everything together in it that makes us radiate so brilliantly that the darkness won't even want to come and try and come against us because they know it won't succeed. When you have the fullness of God in you and it's radiating, you have the armor of Christ. Yes, it's every individual piece. You have the faith, believing in the Father, believing in the Son and the Holy Spirit. You have the righteousness of God because it is through faith that you can receive that righteousness because it's not part of a works program. When you have the sword of the Spirit, you're relying on God and His word and for Him to teach you how to use it and when to and when not to. And as for the shoes of peace, you're able to rest and rely on God. And you're able to run and both stand, sit, walk, and do whatever God needs you to do simultaneously sometimes in a test. And as for the helmet of salvation, we're really saying that Christ, you're the capstone. Please be that capstone. That's why you're placed on my head, because you're the crown that we're wearing. And that's as He would want it to be in His body of Christ. And to be honest, when I was reading about the armor of God in the past and declaring it on me because I have, I never once focused or even saw that truth of love and that binding force and that it really was Jesus within me radiating His love to such a full degree. I always saw it as something to put on and to be ready for battle and not necessarily take it off, but just as a tool, not as a way of living my life in Christ. And that's really what the body of armor is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're just not supposed to be part-time warriors here. We are who we are in Christ. And we do know that Jesus, honestly, is the greatest warrior. Mm-hmm. And it's by love that we receive that armor and the fullness of God for it. Now, as we know by the verse in 1 Corinthians 8 that I mentioned, love helps us mature. This body is maturing. And you know what, Dr. Bob, I appreciate those words because they are confirming. And I see a lot of growth happening individually and corporately as a body of Christ. And it's not that you are lagging behind. You are seeing it, and God is opening a desire in your heart that you want to be a part of it. That is on target, sir.
Yeah.
You are not going to be lost in this fold. God has been pulling you back in. I haven't seen you so much in so long. And praise God for it. I want to see you here every day if I could. And you, John, I'm blessed that you came here also with that hunger, too, and that desire.
Yes.
And I'm very excited to see what Christ has in store for you. Mm. And when it comes to that maturity, God had showed me a very innocent picture. He showed me a child who had gone into their parents' closet and tried to wear the shoes of their big father or their big mom. Mm-hmm. Just picture this little six-year-old girl wearing those cute little mom heels, stumbling and those big beads and that ridiculous dress that looks more like a parachute on her, but she being so excited to wear it. And her mom probably chuckling in the back, but being so proud that she had enough faith to walk out and try and wear that. God was showing me that as we approach Him and as we start embracing that love that He has for us and loving who we are in Christ, because that's a piece too, and we'll get to that point too. It's not that the armor of God is going to grow to fit us. It's us who is going to mature and grow so that the armor of God fits snug and perfectly on us. The armor of God is Jesus and embracing who He is in us. It's not about Him changing. It's about us changing in His name.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that we can be what He needs us to be and so that we can radiate. And it's only love that's going to get us there. And to be honest, loving yourself is a piece of that, too.
Amen.
Because there are times when I wear the armor of Christ, which is really Jesus radiating in such a degree that that love is being poured out, and I'm able to walk in a degree of faith that I have never known before. and obedience and in love. But sometimes God needs us to take a step back and to say, you know what, Sam? That breastplate of righteousness, it's a little loose today. Let's fix that. Or you know what, Sam? Those shoes of peace aren't as polished as they need to be. Let's polish it together. You know, or it might be, you know what, Sam? There's a little crack in that sword. You know what? Let's fix it together in the fire. And it's a work that he's doing together in us. And this is especially true in the corporate body of Christ. Because I know that the enemy is not stupid and neither are we. I already declared that and I know it to be true. He doesn't come against us when he knows we're in the fullness of Christ. He tries to come against us when he sees a crack or a dullness in that armor because he says, that's a weakness.
That's right.
Gonna zero in on that sucker.
Yep. Yep.
But Christ says, no, I'm going to show you that you are of me and I am in you. And I am going to help you in the midst of this test to grow stronger. And that crack will disappear in my name. And you will overwhelm the darkness and that carnal mind too. Because that helmet of salvation is very important also. And I'm not surprised that, you know, we do call it salvation because it's Christ that can save us even from ourselves.
Yes.
And I was just very blessed by receiving that. And I'm not surprised that the enemy tried wicked hard to not allow me to receive that fullness of that word. But praise God that it was received. And in terms of Zechariah, Lord did bring me to Zechariah. And I also confess, I didn't necessarily understand. And I was very blessed that the message that you spoke out, Gail, because it was definitely on target. Because
which
it's...
What was that?
Oh, the one that you spoke today about receiving that message from the people who had gone through the Passover.
Yes.
And their message about times to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about us necessarily understanding the intimate detail and plan of God. It's us about understanding that God has a plan and that he's revealing bits and pieces for us to be prepared. And in order for us to be prepared and to walk forth in it, he needs us to wear that armor perfectly in his name and to be forged in the fire and to be ready for it. I don't need to know in detail God's plan. I admit I'm curious, and I admit he honors that curiosity, and he'll lead me, and he'll expound on things when it is his timing and his timing alone. But I believe that the message is that Lord's letting us know that he is preparing for the next stage, and it's happening, and other parts of the body of Christ are aware, and they are seeing it happening, and they are doing their best to pass over as well and to prepare for whatever God has in store for them to be. So that when those trials and that test and that appointed time comes for him to shake the earth, we'll be ready. And that's what he's doing in this church as well. He's getting us ready so that we can be polished, so that we can have, you know, the entire fullness of Christ. Because Ephesians 1:3 says we have every single spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm through Christ Jesus. And that is true. Mm-hmm. That's not just talking about the armor of God. That's talking about him in us. We have the gifts. And it's time that we start to learn really how to use it. And also, you know, where those little weak points are too. Because it's not bad that we have weaknesses. God already knew we had weaknesses when he started making us. But he also promised that he would perfect us in his name and in his timing. So that is the message.
My grace is sufficient. There's that scripture. My grace is sufficient that in your weakness I will be made strong.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So the Lord is recognizing in those weaknesses, that's where he makes us strong. But it's him that makes us strong.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So I look forward to seeing the body be corporately built and closer and stronger in Christ. And my prayer for each and every one of us is, you know, to go to the Lord and to ask, well, all right, Lord, you know, where are those pieces in me and pieces in the armor that, you know, might be loose? Where are those areas that you want mm-hmm. me to be strengthened? And to show me that, because he will.
Mm-hmm.
And he will prepare us. And in terms of the DVD that I had pressed in my heart, it's one where we only know that it's through love that we can wear the armor of God. And it's through love that we can radiate who we are in Christ. Because quite frankly, Christ is love. And the DVD really speaks a lot about learning to embrace and to walk in love and accepting God's love for us. So I believe that God wants to work in that corridor. And I'm excited to see what the fruits look. So as the Lord leads with that, And thank you, everybody, for your obedience in coming here. And thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us today.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for you, Sammy.
Yes. Yes. Obeying, yes.
I think that's what I was dealing with just when I went back and re-listened to the John Bevere DVD. He was pressing deeper into my heart, and I guess I heard it the first time, but it was like it was doing a work. And when he kept saying, the strength of sin is the law, and he was shocked. He said, Lord, your word doesn't say the strength of the sin is the flesh, or the strength of sin is Satan. The strength of sin is the law. And then when he started to say all the things that the words coming out of our mouth is, well, I have to, or something that sounds legally, well, I have to do this, or I have to go there. Right. Or if you look at the word of God, thinking that word is saying, well, you have to do this, rather than it being a delight to do. Mm-hmm. And as I continued to hear that, I said, you're right. And another thing that jumped out at me is when the Lord was speaking to John, he emphasized, do you think this is a two-way conversation? And John said, yes. And that was pressing into my heart, because when I kept hearing the word obey, it felt like a one-way conversation to me. Mm-hmm. It felt like obey and no interaction. And as I began to ponder and to work through that, I said, oh. And it was like some peace came in, that it is a two-way conversation, that those issues that we have, we go back and forth with the Lord, and he is listening, because he does love us that much, that he is listening, mm-hmm. and will guide us through those things. So, praise God. Yeah. It's a two-way conversation. It's mm-hmm. not someone controlling. It's not someone that's demanding. It's someone whose heart is really for us and mm-hmm. will definitely help us and guide us through those times as we interact mm-hmm. with him.
And he's going to wait for us to interact
yes.
before he says or does.
Yes.
So he's looking for us to prompt the conversation. Mm-hmm. That's the way I understand it.
Yeah, because I got hit with a couple of things while we were praying for Deborah and Mary last night. And I stood there, and I didn't do anything with it until when I got home. And finally I said, why did I get hit with that? I haven't got the full answer yet. Mm-hmm. And because when I touched Mary, you were asking, you know, under the chin and the back,
yeah.
the anointing hit so strong I could barely stand. Mm-hmm. So I knew that was there. But I got hit with something else that wasn't of the Lord. So now my quest is before him. Why did you allow me to get hit with that? You know, what was your purpose? And I'm waiting for that answer. I want to know why. Why did he allow me to hear that or get mm-hmm. hit with that? What's his intent?
Well, I got the word buffered. You were being buffered by the enemy. He was allowing you... Not the enemy to actually a full attack, but you were being buffered while the Lord was working through you. So it's kind of like you just knock them off, you know, get out. You know,
that's what it was trying to do.
This is the
exactly.
Lord's business. Get out.
Yes. Yeah. And yet I knew it was wrong, but I didn't quite yeah. comprehend why he was allowing it. Mm-hmm. And what his purpose is in that. I guess that's my quest. What was your purpose in that?
Yeah. We were saying about obeying. If he says we obey him to please him. And I think, well, a good father, you obey him. They give you certain directions. And you want to obey him because you love that father so much. So what it is, I think if we put the word please him, because like you say, obey is such a strong word. It's almost a negative word in
yes.
a way. But
see, to me it is.
If you put it please him, I want to please you, that means so much more. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. Has a nicer...
And he was, Jesus was put here, and the world was made. The world was made in order to please him. And we're here to please him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And the enemy would like to do that. Take a word of God and drive it so that it does seem like negative instead of positive. But we'll make it positive.
Mm. Well, I think that's because of something that's still a weakness in me that the Lord wants to, as Samantha said, a crack that the Lord wants to fix.
And I think in all of us, because we've all had authority where, you know, it was really difficult.
Yep.
They weren't always the nicest people, I'll put it that way. Yeah.
Did you get anything else from last night?
No, just a deeper understanding of, I guess, what was read, of what I read. But I, like I say, I'm, you know, I don't know that there was any particular purpose that he had in mind for sharing that with us. But
I was referring to the time.
Okay. I'm sorry. See,
okay.
I'm disconnected again. No.
Oh, excuse me. You mean during the intercession of the bar? Okay.
Right. That's what she got.
She got the overflow.
I did. Got the overflow. Which was a blessing. But no, I didn't.
Okay.
But I was up quite a bit too when I got home. I found all this week when I get home, I'm just like wide awake. And usually that's not the case. I'm usually am like, you know, can't wait to get in the bed. But
I was exhausted. But there was so much war. That's why.
Right.
I was exhausted from the war.
In terms of the intercession for Deborah and for Mary, the Lord had already let me know that I was to intercede from afar. And I said, okay, Lord. And the Lord had told me that I would be just as close with the body of Christ as if I were, you know, directly laying hands, because the Lord had me play.
Yeah, that music was very important.
That was very important.
Very important.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I questioned why under the chin.
Yes.
Mm.
And he told me because he didn't want us to put our hands on their mouths, so it was under the chin. But it was the same thing, because they speak out his word that they, when they pray in tongues and everything.
Okay.
And this was anointing for their mouths. But instead of putting the hand on the mouth, we had to put it under the chin.
Okay.
Because I was wondering why under the chin.
And I'm not surprised that the enemy would try and sneak an attack with the two, you know, deep intercessors and healers within this body.
Right.
And, you know, I myself, I acknowledge my weaknesses, and the Lord is working on them. For the duration of this feast, the Lord has really been pressing on me to love myself in the way that he wants me to love. And, you know, even this morning, it was a struggle to sit in this chair. I won't lie. I was like, you know, Lord, you know, I'm a part of this body of Christ, because of course, you know, sometimes you just want to talk it out with the Lord. And I confess, it's like, you know, Lord, it's all right. You know, I'm a part of the body of Christ. I'm no different, no better than anybody else. Why should I have to sit in that chair? I could sit anywhere and be obedient. I also wanted to question and make sure that it wasn't the enemy too. The Lord said no, you know, that I had to sit in this chair today because I was worthy of sitting in this chair just like everybody else was worthy.
Amen.
It wasn't a matter of, you know, it wasn't a matter of me questioning if anybody else was worthy of sitting here, but I was questioning if I was worthy of sitting here.
Right.
And, you know, I believe that the Lord is leading me into a greater and deeper journey of loving who I am in Christ, and, you know, loving me as well. And sometimes, you know, that might present, you know, a challenge, or at least it has in the past, but I'm believing that, you know, that is something that the Lord, you know, will correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that he is correcting. And I think that, you know, the armor of God will fit snug in that area as well. And it's something that I need to allow. At least that's what he's making me aware. I need to allow it to fit snug on me.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, Beth?